Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
Well, we welcome you here this morning, and we're going to go ahead and get straight into the word. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. I like the New King James Version. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." For we walk by faith, not by sight. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask that you would open our hearts, that we would see what you're saying to us, that our lives would be wide open to your word. And Father, that supernaturally you would touch every life in this place this morning. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk this morning about walking by faith. Have any of you ever felt like underneath your circumstances? Have you ever felt the pressure of life so heavy that it just weighs on your shoulders that you don't even want to wake up in the morning? You ever felt like that, where your heart just races and your thoughts, you're just going all night long and it's difficult to even face the day? I felt like that many times as a Christian. I felt like, you know, all I could see was the problem because it was real. Right? It's right there. It's tangible. You know, whether it's a financial situation or people coming against us or the conflict within our own lives, our own homes, or the problems at work. It's just so real. It's easy just for it to feel so surmountable, so heavy on our shoulders. You know, a lot of people have felt like that, but I want to talk to us. I want to talk to our perspective on how we see God and how we approach life. And I just want to look at the word. And I want us to be encouraged that we can do some things differently. Because you know what insanity is, right? It's doing the same thing, wanting a different result. So let's anticipate things being different if we'll just try something new. Amen? Okay, let's look at the word. Here it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Walk is simply a metaphor of how a person lives their lives, how they conduct their lives. The Apostle Paul was telling us that we should live our lives by faith in God and his truth. So both are unseen, but both have eternal consequences, depending on what we do with them, or eternal significance. Instead of chasing the same things this world pursues, the Bible's telling us that we should focus on the unseen realities of Jesus, of heaven, on moral living, a pure life, and the consequences of sin. Paul continues to explain what walking by faith means. Two verses down, chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. "We make it our aim to please God, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he's done in the body, whether good or evil." Now, before Paul even uttered these words or said anything about this, Jesus was already telling the people to store up for themselves treasures in heaven. In the book of Matthew, he promises eternal rewards to everyone who does his will and eternal punishment for those who reject him. Both concepts, see, we can't see until after we die. But see, then it's too late to make a decision about it. For every action, there's an equal and opposite response. Some of us know the law of physics, Newton's third law. If you don't, it doesn't matter. Everything we do, there is a response. There's a cause and effect, right? We're all familiar with that. You see, you're free to make whatever decisions you want. I'm free to make whatever decisions I want. But I'm not free from the consequences of my choice. We don't live in a realm of feelings and emotion. We live in God's reality called faith. Now stick with me, we're going somewhere. When we believe and walk by faith, we never lose hope. We never lose hope. To walk by faith means that we recognize the unseen things as reality. We live our life with the belief in eternal consequences and rewards in mind. To walk by faith means we fear God more than man. Have you ever done something because they were watching? You ever done something that went against your beliefs, but they were watching? But to walk by faith is to fear God more than man. To walk by faith means that we believe and obey the Bible's commands. To walk by faith means we choose righteousness over sin, no matter the cost. To walk by faith means I trust in God in every circumstance rather than going on my own wisdom. It means I believe God's rewards, those who diligently seek him no matter what. You see, Here's the realities. The Bible tells us, do not love this world or anything in it. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Man, I know about those three things. You know anything about that? The pride of life. Oh, that's like pinnacle. That's a problem. It comes from not the Father, but from the world. You know, pride of life. I mean, this, let me tell you this. This was all written to the Christian church. This wasn't written to all y'all out there who don't know Jesus. This was written to the church. So we have to be honest. We don't get saved. That's when the process starts. We don't get saved and then we just got it. We're just holy. I learned ministry. I know how to say amen. And, you know, I just act right on the outside. Right? It's a process. We deal with the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. If you don't, you're not human. These are human battles. But what we're talking about today is being able to focus on what is unseen, the high calling. God has called us out. Now that we're saved, we know that there's more for my life. I don't have to swim in the miry muck and clay. I can be free. You see, the Bible says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Now, you have to understand that in context, and I'm not going to go into all of that right now, but that's 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. I'd encourage us after to you know, at some point during the week to study scripture, really get into the word so that, because I could be lying to you. Like my husband always says, I could lie to you. Do you know what the Bible actually says? You know, please don't just go off of Pinterest. Don't just go off of Google. Don't just go off of Facebook. Don't just go off of what you hear, but read it for yourself. What does the word tell us? Rather than loving the things of the world, we should spend our lives glorifying God in all we do. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it unto the glory of God, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:31. See, I don't want us to, God doesn't want his children to live a life of just straight, you know, all law, full of law. Like one side you can be just religious and just like serious and boring and, you know, strict on yourself, and then you project strictness to everyone around you. That was me when I got saved. I was straight, like I just needed it. I needed it because I was so corrupted by the world. I needed it. When I came in, I wanted to be in the women's home there at my home church. Our church was a little bit smaller than ours is now, but we had a men's home and we had a women's home. They're like, no, you don't need the home. I was in college and I was like, I just wanted the peace of mind, the setting of, you know, being able to devote myself to Christ, because I was like, I'm all in. It took me a few years to decide, and then I was all in. Now, God doesn't want us to live there because I was so serious. There was no abundance in my life. There was no joy. I never laughed. I'm going to be real. Like, I saw the world from a certain view. It's evil. You know, I've been through some things. Come on, somebody, if you know what I'm talking about. So then you get all strict and serious and all, you know, but you project that to other people, and that's like, that ain't it. But on the opposite side of the spectrum, we can't just live our lives just to fulfill our desires. What does the Bible call that? He tells us, don't be in love with the world. I'm just, you know, because that, at the end of the day, we'll be empty as well. Just everything I feel I want to do, I'm doing it. I'm all in, you know. God, yeah, I got you. Next year, I'll be at church on Easter. No, it's not like that. See, I believe that we can really, truly serve God and have joy. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it unto the glory of God. See, I want God in my household. I want the presence of God to go with me at the lake when I'm chilling with my family and friends. I want the peace of God to be with me at all times, not just sometimes. Now, it's not a church thing. I'm not trying to live two lives. I'm trying to really allow the presence of God to be in my life and experience that abundance Jesus talks about. You see, when you first get saved, a lot of times we do feel like hypocrites. Let me elaborate. I first got saved and I was like, either I needed to be super strict or I felt like, you know, I didn't know who I was in Christ yet. So I wasn't able to, you know, be the same person at church everywhere else. It takes time. But I'll tell you what happens as you just let the word of God come in and we start to focus on him and the realities of the future, something starts to take place. When I'm by myself kicking it with my friends, if I don't like the, if they're trying to pass me brews or beers or blunt or whatever got going on these days, you know, back then I had to kind of start to separate myself because I was like, my spirit doesn't agree with this. I don't want to live like this no more. It was just my choice, right? And so for me, I had to separate myself from some things, but it could be anything. You know, some of the sins in my life after I got rid of the outside was the inner stuff. You know, some of us were hypocritical because we walk around with judgment in our hearts. We judge everything and everyone. We put it on blast on Facebook too. Yeah, 100. That's the funniest little saying. Is, you know, 100. Okay, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying sometimes we're strong about things that don't matter much. You know, and we're like, yeah, you know, when we should probably be just as passionate about something that really matters, that holds weight, like the things of God. I'm not going to be religious. I just want to be real this morning. Look, sometimes we walk around with unforgiveness in our hearts. Do you know how foul that is to the Lord? He forgave us. His son went on the cross to pay for our sins. And we walk around and we won't forget that dude for what he did to me in high school, or that woman for what she said, and, you know, that teacher, and, you know, and some things aren't lightweight. I'm not going to pretend I don't even know what you've gone through. Okay? Some things aren't lightweight. Some of us have been wounded, violated, right? Done wrong. But I want to tell you today that we've got to give it over to the Lord. You have to let it go so you can be free, so you can walk in victory, so you're able to walk by faith and not by sight. Because the sin will keep us from God, and it'll keep us from living an abundant life, from truly experiencing the peace. That's why you feel good when you're at church. Then when you're in other settings, it doesn't feel good. You feel like God is distant, because sin does separate us, the sin of our hearts. You know, the anger can keep us away from the Lord. I had a huge anger issue, like, and I don't mind being transparent. I really did. And it was really well hidden unless you triggered something deep. And then that was that. Even as a Christian, I felt that, you know, defense, I wasn't worried about, you can do what you want to me, but don't touch my family, right? Keep your mouth off, right? And no, that's worldly, but that's real. That's just keeping it real. But, you know, at some point, it's just kind of like, God is the Bible says he's my rear guard. He's my defense. And if I'm always fighting all the battles, then where's God? God's like, go ahead. I'm like, step aside, God, I got this. Go ahead, fall on your face again. When you're ready, I'm right here. Right? I want to encourage us to pursue his presence. His presence dwells in a heart that is open and willing. Look, we don't got it all together. We don't know what all we need to work on necessarily. We don't know where to start sometimes. But if we'll just pursue him, God, I don't know what it means to walk by faith, but if you would teach me, and if we would start to focus our attentions on God. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:18, the chapter right before what we just read, it simply says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You see, we have a choice of what we focus on. You have a choice of what you focus on. You know, and sometimes all we can focus on is negative, and all we can focus on is the problem and the wrong that they did, right? You ever feel like that, ever? I had a friend of mine, he said, don't let haters rent space in your head. He's like, why are you giving any headspace to that? Right? It's true. Sometimes, in all reality, our thoughts, we give way too much, like, attention to the problem. The Bible, or something I want to share with us, is that the devil will always try to get us to focus on ourselves and our problems. Always. Always. And our shortcomings. Why'd I say that? I shouldn't have done that. Man, you know, I feel stupid. Whatever, right? Always trying to get us to focus on that. Instead of focusing on Jesus and his ability to carry us through to victory. I don't know what you go through. I know I've been through so many things, and I wish I had a counselor. I wish I had a good close friend. Now, I have more confidence these days. But there were times, man, I felt so alone. Part of it was because I kept everyone at an arm's distance length. It's true. But I wish that someone could have told me, listen, focus on his ability to carry you through to victory. Don't sit there and just focus on the fact that you're struggling, whether it be financial, whether it be emotional, whether it be pain in the family. Don't just focus on it. It's a reality, yeah. But look to the Lord. Look to the heavens where your help comes from. I just, you know, sometimes we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord, because these are our realities. And look, if you got a homegirl or a friend in the family or someone that you tend to talk your problems out with, I'm not sure what that is. If you've got someone you tend to talk your problems out with, it's okay. That's not a gun. Don't trip. Believe me, it ain't a gun. Believe me. Okay, back to Jesus. If you've got somebody that's your confidant, But all they do is like, yeah, girl, what? I don't even know what to say. Or they just kind of add into it. You know what I mean? You ever have anyone like that? Come on. Can I just encourage you to find a new confidant? Can I encourage you to you know, for real, to find someone who's going to say, listen, I hear, and that is your reality. Can I pray with you? Man, listen, what does God say about you? Because you might not even feel like God's called you in it. You might not even feel like God's with you in the midst of that turmoil. But you need someone that reminds you, listen, this is what God thinks of you. And you got to get, it's like, you got to physically get out of that space. You got to emotionally get out of that space of negativity and oppression. And there's no way out and no help for me. Because that's where the devil wants us, right? Just focus on our poor circumstances and our shortcomings. Whenever the focus is pointed to us instead of God, whenever, we can be assured the devil has some involvement in the thoughts. Now, I'm not one to give him all kinds of play and attention. I don't blame everything on him. We've got our own responsibility. We've got to make our own choices. We've got to use wisdom. But believe you me, sometimes it just takes a little add to our situation. And we're just, if we would just pause for a moment, sometimes you can tell when there are dark forces working against you. Come on now. We have to be spiritually awake. As long as we're focused on ourselves and we're not focused on God, you know, we have to make a choice. We have to start to make a different choice. We have to tell ourselves, even write it down. I'm one that will write things down and put post-its of scriptures or whatever, but we have to write it down. I will focus on God. I'm not focusing on my problems. I will focus on God. We have to know that the reality is he's always there. He's always with us, and he will bring us through. Now, look, there may not be something right now. You know, sometimes it's easy to apply if you're going through something right now. But if we take this word, tuck it away in our hearts and our spirits for the time when we are going through something, if we're not going through anything right now, do you know that it's going to strengthen our faith? It's going to help us to walk it out. Yes, I've got a problem, but I'm not going to lose it, right? I'm not going to lose the peace of God. I'm going to go ahead and trust that I can focus on him and I'm going to get through day by day. Amen? He's always with us because, you see, sometimes all we do is focus on the problem. And I want to show you how real God is. When we walk in obedience, no one's perfect. It's not just for the priests and the perfect people, because there are no perfect people. But when we walk in obedience, you know your Father loves you? He loves us regardless. But like when our children are behaving and walking in obedience, aren't we like, I just want to bless you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for responding. Thank you for doing that, right? Well, I can't imagine how much more God is pleased when we do our best. God, you know, Father, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Will you teach me? Will you help me? Will you show me? I'm following after you. My heart is set upon you, right? I can't imagine how much more he wants to bless us and just protect us. There's a story, and I'm going to be coming to a close, but there's a story, and I want us to really just look at what happened in this story. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 15. If they can put it on the screen, please. But this was heavy. And real quick, I'm not going to break down the whole story, but there's a point I want to make. So Elisha was being hunted down by a king. The king was hot. He was so upset because he was trying to destroy the Israelite people. That was common. The Israelite people always had enemies because they were blessed and favored by God. So the king is looking for Elisha, the prophet of Israel at the time, because he was telling all the military strategies. He was just always, he knew because the Lord spoke to him. So the king was like, where is he? He wanted to just take him out. Well, Elijah was in a certain place, and he was accompanied by his servant and other people. And this is what happened in the story. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. You see, the servant looked and only saw the problem. That's all he can see. He was with the man of God. He knows God who created all the, you know, but all he can see was his natural. He could see, like, we're about to die. They were surrounded by the enemy. And then Elisha said in all wisdom, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that they may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. As the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, and Elijah, as Elijah had asked. See, he prayed, Lord, open his eyes. When his eyes were fully open, he saw not the problem, but he saw the solution. Now, many of us don't have that gift. The Lord doesn't just open our eyes and we see all of heaven's angels and armies protecting us and watching over us and in our present time, although we know that they're here. But how important is it for us to not, we have to fix our eyes so that when we're going through trial, when we're faced with enemies attacking us, that we don't just see the enemy, but we see the Lord surrounding our enemies. No weapon formed against me will ever prosper. Sometimes we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord and know the scripture, get it under our belt so that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. See, it's not a fairy tale. Some of us have walked through some things, and if I had time, I would love to share stories. But I know I've seen the hand of God move in my life. But if I focus only on the natural, I'm a defeated woman. I can't see past my enemies. I feel like the struggle's so great. But listen, if we'll trust God, especially with our own lives, the biggest enemy is probably ourselves. Our insecurities, our shortcomings, our lack of discipline, the mistakes we've made. But if we would just begin to trust in the Lord, God, I know there's more for my life. I want to learn to walk by faith because I don't want to just live in the present and in the natural and neglect the fact that I've got a bigger calling, that you're a big God, that I don't have to fight like the world fights. I don't have to live like the world lives. I don't have to succumb to circumstance. Elisha prayed, open his eyes, and he was able to see the Lord's armies. That's a real story. That's no fairy tale. That's the power of our God. And he shows up all the time. We don't even know. 99% of the time, we don't even know or recognize or give him praise for the times that he shows up on our behalf. The car accidents we don't get into. The things that don't end up taking us out. Come on now. He protects us. He's got your back and he loves you. And if we would just begin to live our lives, not just full of pleasure, I'm going to pursue all that I want. And you know, at the end of all that, we'll find ourselves void. Now, and I don't want us to get strict and religious and boring, but we got to pursue God, everything that we do to glorify God. Everything that we do. Listen, he wants breakthroughs in your household. He wants you happy. Hello, there ain't nothing wrong with having the joy of the Lord as your strength. He wants a breakthrough in your personal life. When you're driving, listen to whatever music you're listening to. He doesn't want you like zoning out and getting negative and hating on this and lusting after that. No, the Lord wants to minister to you. He wants you to know, son, I got a mission for you. Daughter, I called you. You know, he wants to show us our true identity of who we are. We're not the least of these. He's called us out to be great for him. Now, all that pride of life, and the more close you get to God, the less it's about us. The less we're like, yeah, check me out. You know, the less it's about us. The more we just feel like, man, God, if you can use anything, use me. And as the musicians come up, if we'll just all stand, if we'll just close our eyes for a moment, just for a moment. In every situation we face, I pray that we not only see the problem, but the solution, that we know that the Lord is with us and that his angels are surrounding us. We have to remember that his promises are for us. And you have to know he'll never leave you or forsake you. He will complete the good work that he started in your life.